listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, and the time is 9:59. Coming up at 10:15, Flashpoints presents audio clips from Monday morning's Indigenous Peoples Sunrise Gathering at Alcatraz Island in San Francisco. At 11 on stage and studio, guest host Sarika Mehta speaks with artistic director Damaso Rodriguez and Tiempo Libre's Jorge Gomez about the multi-year process creating Cuba Libre and how this original, large-scale, world premiere musical production came to Portland. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan interviews Celie Pines and Brad Smith about Design Week Portland's week of talks and open houses featuring graphic, architectural, and UX design coming out of Portland. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, a series sponsored by Northwest Film Center. October 2nd through November 5th are the dates. While cinema provides entertainment and escape for many committed filmmakers and viewers, it's a vital medium of engagement and a powerful tool for social action. Films in the series include 50 Feet from Syria, Dreamcatcher, No Land's Song, and We Come as Friends. Again, that's Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film from October 2nd to November 5th at the Northwest Film Center in the Whitzel Auditorium of the Portland Art Museum, located at 1219 Southwest Park Avenue here in Portland. More information about films and screening times can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, a series sponsored by Northwest Film Center. October 2nd through November 5th are the dates. While cinema provides entertainment and escape for many committed filmmakers and viewers, it's a vital medium of engagement and a powerful tool for social action. Films in the series include 50 Feet from Syria, Dreamcatcher, No Land's Song, and We Come as Friends.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, October 13th, 2015. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And we are on Air Cascadia, spending the whole week acknowledging, recognizing, and even questioning the significance of Indigenous Peoples Day. The music that you just heard, that is Goodshield Aguiar and Mignon Gailey. They were part of the Buffalo Field Campaign event that took place in Portland just a very short while back. And Goodshield is going to be joining us today. By the way, the sound that you hear at the beginning, if you thought that was actually that was a recording of a hawk, that's actually Aguiar. That's Goodshield. He has spent so much time in the natural world, and he is so deeply part of the land that the sounds, the voice of land and heritage is part of his vocabulary. It's part of how he sings. We are also going to be joined by Bo Webb with the Appalachia Community Health Emergency. We had him on as a guest a little while back. Don't forget that big date is coming up, the 29th, as we are treated to the prospect of Blankenship going to trial, something nobody ever thought would happen. It is even more important right now to bring the attention of everybody in America to the Appalachia Community Health Emergency's target of doing something about the people who are affected by the acts of Don Blankenship and his ilk, as his like. He has done so much damage to the land. Mountaintop removal mining has raped the Appalachia. And the people who are affected, the people who live in the hollows, there have been sickened in many, and in some cases have died as a result of this guy's greed and unstoppable lust for yet more money at the expense of both the natural world, the actual Appalachia, the heart of America. Guy knows no shame. And British police yesterday removed a round-the-clock guard from outside the Ecuadorian embassy where Julian Assange is staying, saying that it was not proportionate to keep up the operation when no end to the three-year stalemate is in sight. Yes, indeed. So more on that. We're still trying to talk to Julian Assange. And WikiLeaks has released text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership intellectual property rights chapter appears to give Trans-Pacific Partnership countries greater power to stop information from going public. WikiLeaks has released what it claims is the full intellectual property chapter of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the controversial agreement, as we know, between 12 countries. And on virtually every other radio station except for community radios like this one, the misreporting, the lies, obfuscation around the Trans-Pacific Partnership has been stunning. We've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. I've been doing this for a long time. I can't believe it. We have good news from the new proposal from Canada on the Unist-Totten Camp. Won't get Coastal GasLink out of trouble with Unist-Totten because it would still cross the territory 5 kilometres north of the current occupation site. This doesn't bode well for the consortium of pipeline companies collaborating on a unified route to Kitimat. And we wonder if Coastal GasLink will be the first to break ranks with the tar sands and fracking pipeline cartel. Everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen there. Now we do, I believe, have Goodshield on the line. Goodshield, welcome back to KBOO. We're so glad to have you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, we've been, with your permission, using the most beautiful music. It's from the first track from Solamente. There are three CDs out, and we really encourage listeners to get their hands on this music. It's heartbreakingly, stunningly beautiful, and in many ways takes us straight back to land and the sacredness of land, especially for Indigenous peoples. Do you want to talk just a little bit about, in fact, Indigenous Peoples Day and the significance of it? My question is this a whitewash? Is this something that makes white people feel better? Like, oh, we've got Indigenous Peoples Day. Hooray, let's move on. And no, I think that most First Nations people are taking a stand. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I think as a whole, I think most non-Native people who are, you know, educated feel the same way as Native people about the holiday. It's like, you know, why are we celebrating this day? Just out of curiosity, the other day I just went on to the internet and looked up different biographies of Columbus, and it was all the same old lies that we were told from, you know, we were in elementary school, and, you know, saying that he was just an explorer. He made many trips down to Africa, but it didn't mention that he was actually a slave trader, you know. And it was glorifying him being, you know, he wanted to enter the spice trade, whatever. I guess that was supposed to be huge back then, but it wasn't about spices or silk. It was about slaves and gold. And, you know, if you actually, you can... There's some places that you can actually read his diary. Howard Zinn took some quotes from his diary when he wrote his book. That's what he was. He was a slave trader, and, you know.
And of course, he took some of the most beautiful artifacts from Central and South America. They melted it down. Is it melted down? Oh, well, of course, they all did. All the conquistadors did that, melted down these golden masks and beautiful sacred religious objects from the indigenous people. And they said the same thing, too. Columbus said, we hear echoes of that today. When he got there, he said, well, there's nobody here. We'll just take all of this land and everything, all its riches, because there's nobody here. They didn't even think of indigenous people as being people. And it's much the same as 1948 in Palestine, right? I mean, they looked down from a plane and said, there's nobody here. Let's take it. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Columbus Day, good. We need to get rid of it forever. We have to forget that name and let it sink into the trash heap of history. But Indigenous peoples, just some of your final thoughts on that. What significance does it have, really, for people who are still trying to fight to hang on to ancestral lands and prevent them from being destroyed, and prevent the creatures, the buffalo?
Well, I don't think just celebrating a day is going to change much as far as, you know, all the struggles that Native people on reservations are still going through. But I think it's a good place to start. It's definitely, you know, like I love that Seattle was the first city in the U.S. to adopt, you know, changing the name of the day. That was a huge step. So I think when these kind of steps are taken, it motivates other people who could potentially move things in the future to do something to, you know, maybe push a little harder to get some real change happening.
Sometimes shame can be a huge motivator. Hey, Goodshill, thank you so much. We love the music. We have the CDs are here, and we want people to know that they can order them online, and don't waste another minute. Go get this music. It's beautiful. So we thank you so much for joining us. My guest has been Goodshill here, and we go now to Bo Webb with the Appalachia Community Health Emergency Project. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're great. Welcome back to the KBOO Airwaves. So, we're coming up on that date. Why is October 29th important for the people of Appalachia who have been so hideously affected, horribly affected by the work, the likes of Don Blankenship? What are we working towards now?
Yes, and actually that date has been moved up. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. next week, October the 20th. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. With constituents from Tennessee, an Appalachian state that also has mountaintop removal. You know, it's conducted, this one particular type of mining is conducted in Tennessee, eastern Kentucky, southwest Virginia, and west Virginia is the major activity of mountaintop removal that's taking place is in West Virginia. So we have constituents coming from Tennessee. We're going to meet with Senator Alexander's office. He deplores mountaintop removal, and we are taking to Senator Alexander health information, scientific research showing the direct connection between mountaintop removal and health disparities in these mountaintop removal communities specific, and in particular, the health effects that mountaintop removal is having on the unborn and our children. Our birth defects are escalated, rampant as mountaintop removal has grown. Birth defects have followed suit. They've grown right along with it, as has cancer. And so we're asking Senator Alexander to introduce the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Act in the Senate, along with a Democrat. Senator Alexander's a Republican, and we believe that we have a Democratic senator that's from the Appalachian state of Maryland. Senator Ben Cardin is more than willing and wanting to introduce this bill with Senator Alexander, so we'd have a bipartisan bill that protects our children, and it should be a bipartisan bill. So that's our goal. That's what we're hoping for, and we're feeling pretty positive about.
In the last minute that we have, how would you like our listeners to know about what they can do to support your efforts? This is so important. This is draws a hard line under the fact that when you sicken and destroy land, you sicken and destroy the same people. And this is not it's bad enough that it's a health crisis, but it's also a heritage crisis as well, in my opinion. But go ahead and let listeners know what they could do to support your work.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. What folks can do is that they can contact their congressional representatives in the House and the Senate and urge them to support the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Act. And right now the bill is introduced in the House, and it is House Bill Number 912, or the AIC Act. It's well known over in the House side. They know what it is. So I would urge them to do that, and if anyone needs to find their representatives, you can just simply go to our website, www.aiceact.org. And there's a little form there. You can put in your zip code, and you'll get your representatives to come up.
And there's no time to waste. The date's been moved up. It's the 20th now. Don't hesitate. Yes. My guest has been, of course, Bill Webb with the Appalachian Community Health Emergency, back in the AIC Act, taking it to D.C. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, October 13th, 2015. Janet Anderson and Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Hemp Stock Harvest Festival, October 17th and 18th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park in Portland. Portland's annual Hemp Stock Harvest Festival in Portland, Oregon, advocates decriminalization of cannabis for medicinal, industrial, and recreational.